As Jesus said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. But today I want us to come to the table as we are believers who are coming for it to be a table of thanksgiving. And this morning let us take our Bibles and turn to a passage in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. And here we are called to be mindful of Christ and the benefits that He has purchased for us through His work, and to be grateful and to be thankful. So as we come to the Lord's table and we are called to be thankful, let us answer the question, how shall we be thankful? For what shall we be thankful? And we are told in Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Oh Lord, teach us today to be a thankful people. Some of us are a critical people. Some of us are a fault-finding people. Some of us are not a very thoughtful people. We don't think good or bad about much. But Your Word calls us to be a thankful people. And today, move us in this direction and work into our souls a willingness, a gladness, a quickness, an outpouring towards thankfulness in our lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. And so as you come to the Lord's table this morning, to be thankful, what are we to be thankful for? And so let's pause and look at this for a moment. And Paul, in writing in this letter to the Colossians, at least begins by instructing us that we are to participate in the Lord's Supper, that we are to be thankful for the peace of Christ. We are to be thankful for the peace of Christ. And so as we participate in the Lord's Supper, let us be thankful for the peace of Christ. You know, there are many things that are offered to us in this world that are to bring us peace. If we just perhaps find the right human relationship, that will bring us peace, even if it's for only one night. And we're offered that if we perhaps imbibe a little of this juice in a bottle, that we'll find peace from our troubles. Or we may be encouraged to take an illicit drug or extra of the drugs we have been prescribed in order to find peace in this life. We may be told that peace comes from having enough money in the bank account. Yet I have not found one person who has been able to define how much is enough. There always seems to be the need more. In fact, I forget which tycoon it was that had millions of dollars in his account, and he was known for saying, "One more dollar. One more dollar." Peace might be thought to come from achieving a certain ladder at the career level. And sort of you have it made now, and you're on the you don't have to climb so much. You're sort of a plateau. You can just sort of kick back a little bit, and that will bring peace. But all these things are fleeting. Your job could end like that. Oh, you can't say that, Pastor. Yes, I can. How many people lost their jobs over this past week who walked in and never imagined it? Well, I'm the boss of my own business. Okay, so let another Great Depression come. How many people who own their own businesses found themselves without anybody to serve because nobody had money? And you can drink that bottle, and you can lift up the bottle of pills, and yeah, it'll give you a little relief until it all wears off. And then there's those issues that are before you, all afresh and anew. But the Bible says that there is a peace that comes from Christ. And Jesus said to his own disciples on that last night, when he was with them and he was giving to them the instructions there at the Lord's Supper, and in John 14, he says that he's talking to them and he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And you read on in that chapter and he says, "I give to you a peace that the world cannot give." What kind of peace does Christ give to us then? A peace that comes from him, indeed the very Prince of Peace, says the book of Isaiah. What kind of peace that can Christ give to me even this morning? That a bottle can't, or friendships can't, or career can't, or money can't. What kind of peace can Christ give to me? Well, he gives to us first and foremost, above all things, he gives to us a peace with God the Father. The Bible is very explicit about this. And in Romans 5:1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we in our sinful state, guilty before God, worthy only of God's condemnation and worthy only of His wrath," says the Bible. And yet Christ comes to rescue us from the wrath of God. How does that rescue take place? Romans 5:1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Because of the work of Christ on the cross and all those who come to Him, when we believe in His name, as we looked at last week out of the Gospel of John, when we believe in His name and His work, believing and trusting that Jesus Christ is my substitute for the punishment of God, and the way by which I receive the righteousness of God, by faith I am made right with God, and I am now no longer at enmity, as the Bible describes me before, when I'm outside of Christ, at enmity, at war with God, but now I am at peace with God. Colossians 1:20, same letter, just a couple chapters over. This theme of peace is reoccurring in the letter to the Colossians. In Colossians 1:20, it says that through Him, through Jesus Christ, He has reconciled all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. 22, "He has now reconciled you in the fleshly body through death, in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach." It is through the Lord Jesus that we have peace with God. And so as we come to this table, we are to be mindful of the peace that we have with Almighty God. Are you at peace with God this morning? That's the question. Are you at peace with God? As you even now stand before a holy God, do you know that 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 He knows you're in right standing with Him? And you can be if you come through faith in Jesus Christ, who is the peace. Paul tells us, let the peace of Christ, the peace that comes through Christ, it is a peace with Almighty God. There's a peace that comes within when we are at peace with God. In the book of Hebrews, the writer a couple of times mentions the clear conscience that we have because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That no longer do our consciences cry against us when we stand before God, but with a clear conscience, we are able to stand before God because of the work of the Lord Jesus. This is the attitude of the psalmist in Psalm 118. "The Lord is for me. Who will I fear?" And when you are at peace with God, there is a peace that comes within, because indeed, if God is with you, who should you be afraid of? Oh, there may be trials that come, and they do. And they terrify us to begin with. They seem insurmountable, and on our own they are. But then we pause and we go to our prayer closets and we remember, okay, Lord, You're the one who said that You are with me and You would never leave me or forsake me. You are the one who says that You hold me by the right hand and that the waters will not wash over me. You said, Lord,
that I am your child, and that you do not abandon your children. And there is a peace that comes from that.
The Word goes on to say that there is a peace with God, a peace that's within. It's why we sang that third verse. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. Think of that. Every sin. Every sin nailed to the cross. And you bear it no more. Peace with God and the peace within that comes. Peace in trials. Jesus did not tell His followers that there would be no trials. In fact, He promised it. They persecuted you. They persecuted me. They're going to persecute you. But do not be anxious. The peace I give to you is not as the world gives, which comes and goes. And then He goes on to talk about the gift of the Holy Comforter, who would be our peace in the midst of the trials, who would even give us the words to say when we're asked to give a defense of our faith. The peace that passes all understanding is not this state in which we just leapfrog from every rose-colored lily pad in life to the other. It is a peace that comes when in the midst of our trials, we remember the Word of God telling us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, what? Pray. And in that prayer, and in that relationship with the Father, in that relationship bought by the work of Christ, knowing that we are at peace with God, coming into His throne room of grace and mercy for our times of need of more grace and mercy, we go, and in that moment when we're just putting ourselves upon the floor of the throne room of God, and we are crying out with all our cares, it is at that moment that the peace that surpasses all understanding comes to us. It's a different kind of peace than the peace that you experience just because you got your bills paid this month. Or because everyone in your family is healthy. There's a deeper peace that God desires to give to us. And it comes through faith and obedience and following of Christ. It's a peace. The peace of Christ is a peace that is given to us between us and God, and a peace within, and a peace in trials, but it is also a peace that is to rule in the one body of Christ. Looking there at verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body. The body is meant to be a people of peace. And when we are at peace, oh, be thankful. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ be the cause of your thankfulness. And I pray that you know the peace that comes from Christ. Even this day, if you are to call upon Christ, confessing your sins and trusting in Him, His peace for you, peace with God the Father, peace, real peace within, peace even in trials, and peace in the body is yours. Not can be, is yours through faith. But that's not the only peace that really He talks about here. There is only reason for thankfulness. There is a reason to be thankful for the peace of Christ in our lives. But secondly, as we participate in the Lord's Supper, let us be thankful for the body of Christ. Let us be thankful for the body of Christ. We touch on it in verse 15, thinking about the peace of Christ, thinking of the one body of Christ, we are to be thankful. And then as we interact with the body of Christ, there is to be a sense of thankfulness in our hearts as well. Verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness, says most translations, I think the King James uses the word graciousness, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And so what is going on here is Paul's admonishing the congregation, hey, as you live together, as you're interacting with one another,
do so with thankfulness in your hearts for one another. When you come to this table, it is not just you as an individual who's coming. It's other brothers and sisters in Christ. And why not look at each other in the line with a hushed sense of reverence and preparation, but look to the other person and say, I want to tell you I'm thankful to God for you this morning. In fact, here's my permission, if I can use that without sounding haughty. Here's my giving of permission in the line, as you're reverent, as you're preparing, why not turn to this person next to you or two behind you and say, I want to tell you, I'm thankful to God for you because. And it has nothing to do with what they wear. It has nothing to do with their career. I mean, look around you. Go ahead. Look around you. And here's a thought. Do you know enough about your brothers and sisters in Christ to know what you're thankful for in them? We can't live in thanksgiving for one another if we don't know each other. Then this is not a body. It's just isolated cells coming together and bumping into each other every once in a week. Can we look to each other and know something to say thank you to God for them? To thank Christ that He has made the one body and He is even now making the one body. It is Christ who is indeed growing His church and establishing His church. It is Christ who is knitting us together as we live for the glory of God and for the furtherance of His kingdom. And we are to interact with each other with words of thankfulness. And look at the way we're supposed to talk to each other. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing. So that what's supposed to happen is you and I are supposed to be so filled with the Word of Christ, with the Word of God, so that when we begin to talk to each other, all of a sudden, these Scripture verses just start coming out. Encouraging and building up and teaching and if need be, admonishing each other that the way that we're living right now at this moment isn't Christ-like. Let's move away from this. Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you and all with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This isn't so much about a worship service and what kind of music is allowed. In the context, it's about the way we talk with one another. So that even our conversations with each other ought to be counted in some sense as a worship conversation between brothers and sisters in Christ. And we can use psalms, like Psalm 118, which we read earlier, or we can use hymns, so to speak, or spiritual songs, but to speak with thankfulness to each other and certainly to God. And so when we come to the Lord's Supper table, we are thankful for the peace that Christ brings to us. But you know what? It's not just about me as an individual. We come to the table as the body of Christ. And we are to thank the Lord for the body. Some of you can stand here and some of you know better than the rest because you've had to open up your life so that the body may be able to minister to you. And you are deeply thankful to God for a body that ministers. But maybe the rest of us shouldn't wait until we have to open up to one another. This week I know there's a lot of traveling going on and a lot of eating going on and rejoicing and families coming in. And so this week I'm going to give you a pass. But what about the next week? And Naomi and children, I want you to hold me accountable to this. Why don't next week you invite somebody from the body of grace into your home that has never been into your home before? And here's a greater challenge. Why not invite somebody you really... honestly, you forgot their name already. And for 6 weeks, you've just been saying hi, hoping they don't call you by name and embarrass you. Why don't you just get over it, humble yourself, admit it, invite them into the home, and get to know them so you'll never forget their name again.
That's how the body begins to become one. As we participate in the Lord's Supper, let us be thankful for the peace of Christ. Let us be thankful for the body of Christ. And then Paul goes on in verse 17, gives us another thing to be thankful for, or in. As we participate in the Lord's Supper, let us be thankful for service to Christ. Let us be thankful for service to Christ. What do you mean? Well, look at verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. This is the famous example of a brother, Lawrence, who saw the act of washing dishes as an act of worship. Because as he did so, he could spend that time glorifying God for the physical ability to stand there and to do the dishes. He could thank the Lord again, anew and afresh, for the meal that was already inside him that once resided on the dishes. He was able to see it as an act of worship because he was doing something for his other. He was a Catholic priest. He was able to do something for a Catholic monk. He was able to do something for his brothers so that they were free to go do something else. But he himself able to do for others and saw that as his act of worship. And Paul says, it's not just doing the dishes, whatever you do, whether it's in this room or out there, whether it's in the family devotions or in the group meeting at the office, do so in the name of the Lord and giving thanks to God that you have the chance. I'm going to get personal with some of you and hope you still love me afterwards. But Joe, that means that driving your truck is a means by which you get to worship and serve the Lord Jesus, and in so doing, give thanks to the Lord. Now, brother, I know because you and I talk, that's tough sometimes. But even driving that truck can be a means by which you can serve Christ. You and I have already had conversations where you made a delivery to somebody's house and they needed to hear about Christ. To look for those opportunities. Those of you who work at Santee Cooper, and there are a number of you, there may be a meeting this week that you've got to go to. One of those, it's on the calendar, monthly meetings. Everybody evaluates what's going on, status meeting, and everybody just hates going. It's a waste of my time. I could be doing my work rather than be talking about my work. Well, what if you went in this week and you said, as everybody's sitting, how long is it going to take? You know what? I'm glad to be here today. Because I guarantee you, somebody's going to say, why in the world would you be glad and thankful to be here? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the Lord Jesus Christ gave me life today. Not only that, He's given me life for all eternity. And this is a means by which my very job, even this very meeting, is a way to which I can worship my Savior. So I'm thankful for this meeting. And some of them are going to scratch their heads, and some of them are going to go ahead and call the hospital for you. But you're going to have an opportunity. Somebody's going to be piqued by that comment. Why do you think this way? And the Lord's already moving you down the path of serving Him even more. Stay-at-home moms. It gets tough sometimes. And dads and husbands, they're off and they get to have fun at work. Don't tell me that thought hasn't crossed your mind from time to time. And they don't know what it's like to have a hard day because, man, they're out of the house and they get to go off to lunch somewhere and then they come back and your act of mothering. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Because you see, as we come to the Lord's Supper table, this is not the end of our act of worship, is it? This is just one element of our act of worship. And the Lord has seen fit to bring us together in a place like this morning that we could be mindful, to be thankful,
and remember the work of Christ on the cross, the purchases my peace with God, and I am thankful for that. I am going to remember that. And I'm mindful as I see each one of you face to face, and we'll be interacting with each other later on after the service. You know, I'm mindful of the body of Christ, but we must also be mindful that the reason that He brings us to this table is to send us out so that in whatever we do, we would do it in the name of Christ. To be mindful that when He brings us to this table and sends us out, then the words of Acts 1:8 come into play. And I want you to go, says Jesus, from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world, and you, if you're willing, and think about it every once in a while, can be my witnesses. That's not what it says. The Lord brings us to this table to be mindful of the peace that we have with Christ, the love and fellowship that we have with one another, thankful for the body. And He sends us out to be witnesses. The text says, "You shall be my witnesses." Why? So that others, perhaps the next time that we have the Lord's Supper table, will have heard the good news of Jesus Christ. And your testimony of life and of words would be used by the Holy Spirit to bring others into faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that the next time that we have the Lord's Supper table, there are others who are with us partaking of this proclamation of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that the Lord brings us to a table like this and reminds us of the work of Christ and reminds us of the benefits of the body of Christ and points us, reminds us of eternal life with Him so that when we're sent out, whatever we do, it's for Christ, so that there are more worshipers gathered around the throne of God a million years from now. So when we come to the Lord's Supper table, let us be thankful for Christ. And let us be thankful for each other. But let us also be thankful that when we walk out that door, Ephesians 2:10 comes into play. We are going to walk in those good deeds that God has prepared beforehand for us. Think of that. That when you leave this table and you go out that door, God already has in mind wonderful ways to use you this week. Ways that you may have no idea of right now. Ways that you may have some inklings because you've got an appointment on the calendar and you're already beginning to wonder, how can God use this for His glory? How can I do this? Because it's one of those whatever I do's. How can God use this for His glory and His honor? How can I use that moment and do it under Christ, giving thanks to God that I'm able to be His representative in this moment? Come to the table with a sense of thankfulness for what Christ has done. What He is doing even now, interceding for us. Being thankful for the work of Christ and that He's coming again. So when we think of Christ and the Lord's Supper table, it's past, present, future. But when we think of the work of Christ and the peace that is ours because of what Christ has done for us, but come to the Lord's Supper table and think this very present moment of the body of Christ around you and thankful for each other and thankful that you're going to be able to see as much as your eyes can take in the body of Christ forevermore in heaven. What is that sea of worshipers going to look like? It's like barely able to imagine that now. People from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And you get to be a part of that through faith in Christ. You get to be a part of that by also remembering that there are many more who need to hear. And they may never come into a church building to hear about the good news. But they've watched you every time you come into Walmart, into their section. Maybe you like to go into the household goods section of Walmart. And you go pretty much every week. Has that person got a clue? I mean, you've now met them 52 times this past year. Has that person got a clue yet of the hope that is yours because of Jesus Christ? Go and interact with her in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, you've said hello to her 52 times. And you've said, "How's it going?" 52 times. And you said, have a nice day, 52 times. But have you used that moment in the name of the Lord Jesus? All of us need to be looking for those moments. Come to the table. Rejoice in Christ. Be thankful for Him. Be thankful for one another. Be thankful for the service that He sends us into when we leave this morning. This morning, as we take the Lord's Supper service, Paul warns us in the letter to the Corinthians not to take it in an unworthy manner. What does that mean, an unworthy manner? At least it means that we do not take it if we are not publicly professing Christians. The believers that he is writing to are those who have made their faith known, have been baptized, known in the body as professing believers. And so, do not take the Lord's Supper if you are not public already with your faith. Do not take the Lord's Supper if you're not a believer. In fact, Paul says, it is the reason why some of you are sick and dead, because you took the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. But there's also a way in which the believer, the true believer in Christ, can take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. One is with a hard attitude that says, let's just get this over with. Or a hard attitude not mindful of Christ while you take it. Or a hard attitude that is out of sync with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And Jesus himself said, if you come to the altar to give an offering and it comes into your memory that there is something between you and a brother, he says, lay your gift down before you give it and go and be made right with your brother and sister in Christ, and then come back and present your offering. And so this morning, if there's a brother or sister in Christ here who are at odds with each other, first go, be reconciled, and then come to the Lord's Supper table. And some of us have already been given some thought as to whether or not we're ready to approach the Lord's Supper table, mindful of the work of Christ, and some of us have not yet given that time. And so I want us to have a time of silent preparation where we pray unto the Lord, asking Him to search out our hearts to see if there's any wicked way in us. First, to confess faith in Christ. Are there any relationships that I need to restore? Lord, is there a relationship between me and You? Is there some pet sin I've held on to, some pet bitterness, something that stands between You and me? I need to get that right before I come to the Lord's Supper table. So let us have a time of silent preparation. And then when the time of silent preparation is done, we shall sing together, and then we shall participate in the service. But let us silently pray before the Lord.